Hey, welcome everybody to the podcast, to the Movie Madness Podcast. You know, I usually have intro music, but I don't have it on me, so that's okay. And I've been on a slight hiatus getting recertified into movies because I am, I don't know if you know this, it's actually just me, and I'm going to call you my engineer John. He's not on a mic, so it's going to be weird. No, I don't, it's just me today. I don't have any guests because we're recording at a late hour, at the witching hour, reverse noon or midnight, as they say in the United States. But I sometimes when you have a passion in life, my passion's movies. But sometimes even when you have a passion, it fades, and you got to step away from that. And that's what I did. I took a break. Like I said, I got recertified as a movie expert, which I am, and now I'm back. I don't even know what episode this is. But the Oscar, I haven't really seen a movie. I don't have too many movies to review. I did see Paddington Bear, which is a family movie. I took my nieces. I mean, I really just wanted to see the movie. But luckily I have nieces. It is the best rated movie, I believe, on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's pretty good. I would recommend it, like, if you enjoy a talking bear. And, I don't want to spoil it because I think you said you still want to go see it. So... yeah. It's good for the family, and it's actually during the Act Three, where most movies feel a lull. There's a lull there, but it picks back up, and there's good. You know, he has an arc, which is what you need is in a character, and he grows, and that's all I'm going to say about that. It's a good movie, but before I do get into the Oscar nominations and my picks, where I'm usually at least 90% right as a movie expert, and who's going to win the Oscars. I do, obviously, the last Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, came out, and I haven't had a chance to talk about it. But it's, obviously, it has issues, but what's really bothering me about it mostly is that it's the super nerds that have it rated at 40. It's at 48% audience approval on Rotten Tomatoes, and I feel like that's the... 30% of internet nerds just constantly, like, probably creating more usernames and giving it a bad rating because, I mean, critics have it at 91%, and most movie critics are kind of dumb. And, like, if you give them something different, they will like it, and this movie's different from other Star Wars movies because they don't blow up a Death Star, and there's no Darth Vader, per se. So it's... And there is a lot of humor, like probably a little. Well, it's like when you try to have a lot of humor, tone is important, and it kind of the tone is probably a little off because the humor is a little jarring sometimes. It can take you out of a scene, and we all knew that Luke Skywalker, as badass as he became in The Last Jedi, remember from Star Wars, he was kind of a whiny douche. He didn't want to go on that mission, and then now he's become a whiny old man. And I don't know if you haven't seen it yet, it's a spoiler alert in case you don't want to hear anything you don't want to hear. But he's become very whiny. You know, it's like one fail. You're like, hey, you failed. And now you're going to go to an island. You know how many, like, if every time I failed, I went to an island, I wouldn't be here right now. Because I think any of us would. And all he did is cry, like, hey, that's all the Jedi do is fail. Yoda failed. Obi-Wan failed. Maybe Darth Vader didn't fail because he killed all those younglings. He killed them good. But, and it's just like, oh, I can't train anybody. It's like, hey, man, buck up, bro. And then Yoda, there is a Yoda appearance, and that's just ridiculous. I don't even know who was doing the Yoda voice, but it was a pretty torturous 5 minutes of listening to Yoda. But no, I mean, it is... it's definitely higher than 48%, and it's a decent movie, I should say. I mean, I would definitely recommend it. You won't love every part of it, but the nerds need to take a break. That's all I'll say about that. I mean, it's made $1 billion worldwide, according to Box Office Mojo. It's like the number one movie of 2017. I guess that's proof right there. Actually, it's made more overseas. It's made $701 million overseas and only $600 million domestically. But that's still worth, and that's not even oh man, counting probably like toys, it's like a $2 billion franchise. I hope Mark is getting a piece of that. I assume he is. I don't know. Let's talk about the top 10 right now. The current top 10 of the movies is, see, we're a little low at the box office right now because Maze Runner, The Death Cure, I think this is the last one, or that's number one movie. It only made $24 million. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, is hanging in there with The Rock. And I don't know. You can't say anything bad about the movie because The Rock's in it and Kevin Hart. Do you follow The Rock on Instagram, John? No. Listen, if you need motivation, or if you need, listen, The Rock is a paradigm. He's really positive on Instagram. He's up at like 3 o'clock, always working out, always saying nice things. He never has anything bad to say about anybody. Just follow him. You will feel better about yourself. Okay. You believe me? No, it's true. He's always like in a different city working out. Then he's getting on a private jet to pump up his movie. I haven't seen this movie either, Jumanji. I mean, I did see the original, obviously. They kind of did like a little twist because there's like body switching. They're in the avatars of the game, and then they go in there. So like it's really I think Jack Black's in there. You can't go wrong with that. I don't know. What's number three? Hostiles. I don't even know what that's about. Oh, that's with Batman. It's a Western. What's that guy's name? Oh, Christian Bale. Anything with Christian Bale is worth it. He is a perfectionist. If you, I don't know if anybody, I'm sure you've all heard the remix of when he yells at the sound guy who comes in the scene. There's a good remix on the internet where he's just kind of like, where they just take his voice and he's like, whatever he's yelling at that sound guy. But, and you know, and I don't know, there shouldn't be blowback because I think the sound guy really did interfere with the scene. You know, if someone's trying to concentrate and someone's constantly like rearranging stuff, that'd be annoying. So, The Greatest Showman, that is number four. That is not doing, that's got Hugh Jackman and the other guy. Who's the other guy? Zac Efron. He's pretty dreamy. Oh, Michelle Williams. Can't go wrong there. And what's number five? The Post. See, all these movies are just... this is another one that's a little low on the audience, but, you know, The Post is basically about when the Washington Post... This is like pre-Snowden, where someone had they had all these documents about Vietnam and how the military was lying to the American public on what we were doing in Vietnam. And this guy he was working with the defense minister, so he took the papers, these secret memos, and he basically was trying to release them. The New York Post wouldn't do it, I think, for legal issues. So he went to the Post, and they basically, after I think, you know, consulting with their lawyers, decided to publish it. And I don't know if this is actually, I'm not up on my history. I don't know if that did end up kind of, I'm sure it soured the public on the war. But I think the audience is a little low for Meryl Streep. Well, it's at 74%, but you know, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, who did not get nominated. But I think we're sick, like, Tom Hanks set the bar too high for, he's a victim of his own success. Because they were like, hey, you got nominated for everything. Like, you got to do something. He's got to do something extraordinary right now. He's got to gain 300 pounds and play, I don't know, who's someone that's really obese. I can't think of anybody. He's got to play maybe like do a movie called My 600-Pound Life. And if he really literally gains 600 pounds, then he might get another Oscar nod, I feel like. Other than that. Or unless something comes out and he's like a Me Too and some actress actually says, Tom Cruise, grab my ass. Or I'm sorry, Tom Hanks. Which it's not going to happen because I'm sure he did not. But he's a good guy. He's too good. You just want some dirt on that guy. 12 Strong about apparently some sort of a fact-based movie on what happened the day after 9/11. I'm sure it's good. I don't know. I always get a little... See, people criticize Hollywood, but they make movies that are, like, feel good. This is kind of like American, I don't want to say propaganda, but, you know, it's like a military movie where I imagine did the right thing. I don't know. I don't remember 9/11 anymore. It's a long time. I know I'm not supposed to forget, but sometimes I forget about it. So many things I have to remember. It's not in my phone. Den of Thieves is next. What's that? Oh, that's, you know, anything with Brett. If he's not kicking people in a well, I just can't get into the movie. Gerard Butler. You know, from 300. He's not good. O'Shea Jackson Jr., though, who's Ice Cube's son, is in there. I think it's just basically Dirty Cops versus Thieves. And I don't know who's going to win. Oh, this is the most nominated movie with 13 Oscar nominations. The Shape of Water is next at the box office at number 8. And I don't know, this is basically about love. Love finds a way. Because it's about a mute woman who's a bit of a loser who falls in love with a fish man. So I don't, it's good stuff. I'm just looking at the rating. There's graphic nudity. So I don't know if you see like fish dick or if there's actually like full female nudity. But it's directed by Guillermo del Toro. So he's like, he did Hellboy. He did some other noteworthy movies. So I guess it's a little different. So most critics are on board, except for that. Except for a notable few, but yeah, I think it's a lovely story in the end. I guess it's the sentiment. Basically, it doesn't matter what you look like when you fall in love with someone. Number 9 is Paddington 2, which is still at 100% rating, 100% on the critics, 90% audience. Good for everyone, children and adults. And what's number 10? All right, I can't pronounce this. Padmanvant. Yeah, I believe it's from Bollywood. So, yep, it's a Hindu language epic period drama film. I think that's all I need to say about that. That is not for everyone. I probably will not see that movie. But let's see. And the best pictures, like I said, Dunkirk is nominated. Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is one of the clumsiest titles ever for a movie. But obviously it's a great, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see that? No. Oh, you should. It's 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. If you can't say the full title. No. It's a chick from Fargo, Frances McDormand. She gives a great performance. I think she's nominated as well for Best Actress. So that's Best Actress right now is looking like a tough category because you got Sally Hawkins, who is from The Shape of Water. She's nominated. Frances McDormand for 3 Billboards. Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, which I have not seen, but I have heard good things. Although I believe Tonya Harding, that's the story of Tonya Harding and all the things she had to overcome from trailer trash to medal-winning figure skater. But I think her mom just came out and said she's not that horrible of a person, but that doesn't make a good movie. But of course they're going to give it to Margot because she made herself look like Tonya Harding and she's super hot. And the Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird is nominated, and of course Meryl Streep from The Post. I don't even know what nomination that is, but she's not going to win. Tell you right now, no Meryl Streep. Frances McDormand, nope. Who's going to win? Lady Bird. That's my prediction. You can make a bet now at your Oscar party. You have an Oscar party? No. You look like a guy who throws a good Oscar party. Best director, Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk. He's not going to win. Jordan Peele has a good shot for Get Out. Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird. And Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, and Guillermo de Toro for Shape of Water. And I think that's a two-horse race there. It's either Jordan Peele or Greta Gerwig. I don't even know the last time. Who's the last? Hurt Locker. That was a female director, so maybe they don't feel obliged to just give it to her since she's a woman. I mean, she's very deserving. Lady Bird is a good movie, but Best Supporting Actress. Never thought I'd say this, but Mary J. Blige in Mudbound. She's a singer, I mean, she's a great singer. Who knew she could act? And then there's Allison Janney for playing Tonya Harding's mother, Leslie Manville in for The Phantom Thread, Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird. She's obviously very good. She was from Roseanne. And Octavia Spencer from The Shape of Water. That's a tough category as well. You know what? I think Allison Janney's going to take it. Just on the strength of her name. It's good alliteration. Oscar goes to Allison Janney. But, I mean, of course, there's a lot of knowledge behind my picks as a movie expert. I don't know. Best Picture is going to be tough. Could be Lady Bird's year. It's a very relatable story. Or The Post. Shape of Water? Nope. It's not going to be Three Billboards. Nope. Darkest Hour? Definitely not. Dunkirk? Oh, I'm going to go with Lady Bird. I think Lady Bird's going to clean up. You should go see Lady Bird. You should see it. Best Supporting Actor? The Florida Project. That's a smaller movie, but with Willem Dafoe, and it's pretty good. Then you got Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And Richard Jenkins, The Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World. Which is weird, because, I mean, not weird, but I don't know, you probably know, Christopher Plummer just had to replace Kevin Spacey because of his problems, so they just totally took Kevin Spacey out of the movie, put Christopher Plummer in, and then boom, he got nominated. That's probably part why. They're just like, he threw him in the movie, and they're like, man, we should give this guy a nomination. He did such a good job. And he didn't molest any boys. Plus. And Sam Rockwell, of course, for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri as well. Christopher Plummer is definitely not going to win it. And then it's Woody Harrelson. I don't know. Sam Rockwell, better arc. I'm going to give it to Sam Rockwell. And I'm always a big fan of Sam. He does good work. Best Original Screenplay, The Big Sick, which is written by Emily V. Gordon and Kamal Nanjami. I might be mispronouncing his name, but he is a comic. And this is actually a true story of what happened with his wife, who wrote the screenplay with him, Emily Gordon, and it was produced by Judd Apatow. I believe it's 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It has some very good performances. This actually has a good shot of winning, Get Out is nominated as well, written by Jordan Peele. Lady Bird by Greta Gerwig. Shape of Water, which was written by Guillermo and Vanessa Taylor, and then The Three Billboards, which was written by Martin McDonagh. Super tough category, but I say it's going to go to Get Out and Jordan Peele. It's definitely going to be Jordan's year. Jordan and Lady Bird's year. I didn't do Best Actor. Timothy Chalamet by Call Me By Your Name. Daniel Day-Lewis for Phantom Thread. Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out. Yeah, I totally mispronounced that dude's name. He's British. And Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. Gary's definitely not going to win. Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel Esquire. He plays a guy with autism. See, you thought, just when you thought Denzel couldn't do it all, he could. And that's that autistic guy still has swagger because he's Denzel Washington. He's not going to win, though. Daniel Day-Lewis, he's not going to win. I don't know. I think it's between... Yeah, oh, yeah. I hate when people announce they're going to retire, though. Just, like, I don't... He does, like, one movie every 3 years. Who's going to know? He's not going to retire anyway. Daniel Day-Lewis. But sorry, bro. You're not going to win. It's going to be this Timothy, bro. Or maybe Daniel. For Get Out. And Best Adapted Screenplay. You know what? I don't care about that category. And, I mean, most of these, Best Original Score, who cares? No one. Best Documentary, Short Subject. No. I can tell you the majority of the public has not even seen any of these movies. I have not seen any of these. Best Documentary Feature. This is my favorite category, like Best Documentary Feature. And I've always mentioned this even before, I think it was 2 years ago before that public masturbator Louis C.K. mentioned it because he had that joke because he presented for Best Documentary and he was like, these guys, he's like, you know, these stars doesn't mean anything for these Oscar people. they're going to parties. He's like, the person that wins the Oscar for best documentary is taking it home in a Honda Accord. And it's true, though. I mean, because it's always been my thing. Like, they make this out of passion. They spend, like, 5 years on whatever, like, Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, is one of the best documentaries nominated. Strong Island. I don't know if that's about the Long Island or what that is. I don't know any of these. But, I mean, these people work really hard. And still, nobody sees any of these, so it doesn't matter. It's still my favorite. It is my favorite category. I think best sound mixing. Yeah, like, I don't even understand what does that mean? What's best? My sound guy doesn't even know what that means. He's not up on everything, though. Best makeup and hairstyling. There's only three nominees. Best costume design. Beauty and the Beast. That was a good movie, though. I don't know if they're going to win it. Shape of Water. I bet Beauty and the Beast probably wins best costume design. Best cinematography. Now, this is good, though, because there is actually very first time. Where is she? Oh, Mudbound. Rachel Morrison, first woman nominee for cinematography. So, I mean, that's good. I don't think she's going to win, though. Blade Runner 2049, underrated movie. I feel like Dunkirk. This is Dunkirk's time to shine right there. That's war movies, good cinematography. We got to give it to Christopher Nolan. He gave us Memento, which I still don't. Sometimes I still go to the Wikipedia page and read it to try to understand the ending, and then I'll understand it for like 2 minutes, and then it falls out of my head. Best visual effects. Star Wars got to be in there. Star Wars: The Last Jedi. They didn't have like a lot of crazy effects in there, though. I think Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 might actually get, or maybe Blade Runner. A lot of people, I think someone made a mistake in Blade Runner, because the original Blade Runner came out and it didn't do well at the box office, but then it became a cult hit, which means a lot of nerds just like it. So what was that, like 20 years ago with Harrison Ford? I don't know. It was actually longer than that, I think. But so like they had the bright idea, like, hey, so many people love Blade Runner, let's make the sequel. And what had happened? Same fucking thing. Nobody wants the movies. They're like, it's still a cult classic, and people like, it's a good movie, but no one's seen it, really. Like, it's totally underperformed at the box office, and it can't be because of my boy Ryan Gosling, because he's, you know, a lot of people tell me I look like Ryan Gosling. But it's not his fault. It's definitely in Harrison Ford's fault. So there you go. There's my picks. And I say, bring it back. Anybody want to replay this thing? You just take those picks to the bank. And The Shape of Water, I think I mentioned, though, 13, which is pretty good. Nominations. Dunkirk has 8. It came out quite a while ago. Pretty early on, I should say, in the season. 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing has 7. Darkest Hour, Phantom Thread tied with 6. And Blade Runner has 5. I mean, all for technical. And Lady Bird. Get Out is pretty good with 4. I mean, there is good diversity. You can't say, there's women nominated, non-white people nominated. I mean, it can't be a so white Oscars. I mean, I know it's still a problem. I mean, I can't speak too much on it because, I'm steeped in my white privilege. But, just wanted to mention, is there any better podcast than When Someone Shuffles Papers? No, I don't think so. That is good podcasting. No, I had my Oscar snubs. Oh, here we go. Oscar surprises. I guess it was a surprise, though, that Woody Harrelson is nominated, basically, because, I don't know. I mean, good for him. I think he had a good performance, but I guess some people are surprised. I'm not. Some people are taking as a snub that James Franco, who is in The Disaster Artist, which should be seen as a combo for you, like, for people that don't know, The Disaster Artist is based on the memoir of a book, which is based on a movie, like one of the worst movies called The Room. Is it The Room? Yeah, like ever made. But, of course, it's come out that James Franco is a little... I don't know. Is it handsy? I don't know what the term is. I don't know. He's James Franco. What do you, I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. I guess when Ally Sheedy calls you out, you're in trouble. Fucking Ally Sheedy. She hasn't been in a movie 20 years. She knows what's going on. She's calling out James Franco. No, that's, I mean, if he did something he shouldn't have, obviously it should be, he should not be rewarded for that. That's the problem that we've been having for a long time, that people can still have careers and other people don't. So I don't have a problem that he didn't get, obviously he was very good in Disaster Artist, but if he doesn't get recognized for an award ever again because of, I don't think it quite came to light what he did though yet. Not too many people come forward, but if so, like, yeah, you know, whatever. We'll forget that guy. And again, I said Tom Hanks did not get nominated, but he's just, it's like he gave a solid performance, but it's like just a victim of his own success. Too good. He's too good. Like, he's got to have a bad you know, movie and then maybe come back from that. Who else didn't get supported? Michelle Williams got snubbed. People feel that because she deserves her for all the money in the world. Well, you know what? That is probably, people are going to get snubbed, for one. And I think that she's probably just in the wrong movie of all the money in the world. There's probably weird stuff going on there. And people are feeling Steven Spielberg got snubbed again. But you know what? Steven Spielberg gets snubbed every year because he, like, pissed off, like, the old people in the Academy in, like, 1974. I don't think he's ever won it. He still hasn't won the Oscar he deserved. Like, when Private Ryan got released, he got screwed by the thin, like, that other dude, Malick, came out of his madman woodwork and made the thin red line and screwed him. So Steven Spielberg, like, he should get, like, I understand because I don't get recognized for my genius a lot, which is hard to believe, but yeah, I know. But I take it like a man, you know, because you just keep your head down and you keep doing good work. So, you know what? Steven Spielberg's fine. And, you know what? I'm going to wrap this up because it's getting late. So let's leave it there. Those are my Oscar picks, my special Oscar show. If you need any help planning an Oscar party, let me know. You can tweet at me, which is Movie Madness. Is it at Movie Madness 1? I think it's Movie Madness 1. Some other douche has just Movie Madness. That's with two Ds. And we'll be back next week sometime, and we'll talk about the latest movies. Till then.